This is KTOO News. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Only one of the 48 candidates in the special election for U.S. House is running a $1 million campaign so far. That's according to campaign finance reports filed yesterday with the Federal Election Commission. Republican Nick Begich has raised $1.2 million, and about half of that is from his own pocket. If you look only at money raised from others, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is in first place with more than $600,000 in contributions. Nonpartisan candidate Al Gross has raised more than $500,000, and Republican Tara Sweeney has raised nearly $250,000. The candidates in the special election are running to serve the remainder of the late Congressman Don Young's term. This round of campaign finance reports provides the first glimpse at the fundraising power in the crowded race. The ballots in the special primary are due June 11th. Months before Alaska's state elections, the legislature is set up for major turnover. The Alaska Beacon reports that almost a third of current lawmakers are not seeking re-election. At least 17 of the legislature's 60 members will be in a new position or out of office entirely by next January, and that doesn't count anyone who loses their seat this fall. The deadline to file for this year's legislative elections is June 1st, but many candidates have already made up their minds. Because a steep learning curve awaits new legislators, several departing incumbents said the turnover will slow the progress of complicated legislation, such as a long-awaited state fiscal plan. Others said the turnover may result in changes in leadership of the state House and Senate, including the possibility of a Republican-controlled House or a coalition-controlled Senate. By the end of the day on Friday, 10 incumbents had declared that they will not seek re-election. Another 5 members of the House are running for Senate or governor, and at least one more is considering a similar jump. Redistricting will claim another 2 House incumbents. Over the past 2 years, lawmakers were in session at the Capitol for 338 days, more than any other 2-year term in state history. Some of the departing legislators described days away from their families, deeply polarized political arguments, and the financial strain that comes from having to maintain 2 households. Representative Sarah Rasmussen of Anchorage isn't seeking re-election. She described being away from her young children, including her son, who began kindergarten this year. She said redistricting also played a factor in her decision not to run. Though most lawmakers said the expected turnover will make work more difficult next year, Senator Peter Michicki downplayed both the size of the change and its effects, saying, quote, "I don't think it's anything new. There are transitions to every political body periodically." The new strain of bird flu that arrived in Alaska with the spring migration has now been detected in a fox that died in the Aleutian Islands. Wildlife officials say the red fox, as well as eagles found dead in the Unalaska area, were most likely feeding on birds that had died from the H5N1 avian flu. State veterinarian Dr. Bob Gerlach says that it's different from previous strains of bird flu.
We generally don't see avian influenza causing problems in these species, but this is an unusual case. And so between that and the significant number of mortalities in waterfowl, it's a concern and significant.
The H5N1 bird flu has caused the deaths of millions of poultry in the lower 48, as well as wild birds and some foxes down there. In early May, Alaska confirmed its first case of the virus. It was found in a non-commercial flock of chickens and ducks in the Matanuska Susitna burrow. But so far, wildlife officials say it has not impacted domestic mammals in Alaska. This strain and previous strains have not proven to be a significant health concern for humans or domesticated cats and dogs. Those pets could still be susceptible, though, and Gerlach says there are plenty of other reasons to keep pets away from wildlife, especially dead birds.
If there is a dead bird or dead animal there, we don't know what they died from. If it's not influenza that's transferred, it could be either a bacteria or maybe other virus that is possibly transferable. And the most common ones we see are Salmonella and E. coli. And then obviously those can be transferred to people too.
Alaskans harvesting birds or other wildlife for food are urged to use the usual safety precautions like wearing gloves, thoroughly cooking meat, and not eating animals that appear to have been sick. When Rinaldo Caparis of Juneau died earlier this month, he left a void for many people. Known to many as Uncle Ray, he was a friendly face in an unsuspecting place, the Division of Motor Vehicles. Taking your driver's test is a rite of passage, but if you're like most people, you probably don't remember much about it, except for maybe the parallel parking. And you probably don't remember the person sitting in the seat next to you with their foot hovering over the emergency brake pedal. That is, unless you grew up in Juneau in the last 20 years, where many teenagers took their driving test with Rinaldo Caparis, known to most as Uncle Ray.
I would say with confidence, my dad would love to be remembered as the DMV guy.
Marina Banks is one of Caparis' daughters.
My dad physically was a very, just a petite man, but his personality was just so big and strong and just filled the room. I always knew my dad loved, you know, knowing everybody in the room and having the intention on him, but until my dad passed away, I never realized how much my dad filled a room.
Caparis was born in 1955 in Manila, in the Philippines. When he was a young man in his 20s, he got a job on a cruise ship, first as a line cook and then as an entertainer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, my dad had a very strong, I would say my dad was an alto, and he just loved the spotlight for sure.
After a few years of visiting Juneau on the ship, he decided to immigrate. Partly, his daughter says, because there were so many Filipinos here, but mostly because he met his wife Melba here and decided to stay and start a family. In the 80s and 90s, he worked at various hotels around town. He worked for Delta Airlines. He had a gift for customer service. He eventually landed a job with the state at the DMV, where he worked for 20 years.
One time we gifted my dad a gag gift of a fart machine, and he brought it into the DMV and he would place it in random spots in the office when it's like filled and there's like a long ass line. And my dad had the little remote and he'd like play it off and it sounded like someone farted in the corner. And my dad thought that was so, so funny.
He made people laugh at the DMV. He retired from the DMV at the end of April and spent a lot of his time at the other place people knew him from, the gym.
Even in his late 60s, he would brag that, oh, yeah, you know, I'm still playing basketball with all the high schoolers and I can keep up, Marina. I'm going to live to be 100 is what he used to tell us.
And that's where he was when he collapsed in mid-May. According to one family member, he told the paramedics that he didn't even get a chance to enjoy his retirement yet. He later died at the hospital of a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot, which is hard for the family to swallow because he was so healthy. About 10 years ago, his daughter says, he started eating really healthy. He stopped eating pork and white rice, staples of Filipino food. But he got COVID earlier this year. And Banks, who is a nurse, thinks that maybe that contributed to the clotting. She admits she's not an expert, but there is some comfort in blaming COVID, something to offer an explanation for the suddenness of it. In the Filipino Catholic tradition, mourners pray with the body for 9 days. The Caparis family didn't do that exactly, but they did host 2 days of long viewings where dozens of people came to pay their respects.
So Filipinos are very spiritual when a death happens and very superstitious.
After the viewings, she said the strangest thing happened. The family came home and the room filled with the scent of flowers in her dad's cologne. She says he wore way too much of it, but it made the smell unmistakable.
And so my mom would just sit in there and talk to my dad, you know, let him know that we're here, and then he'd be gone in the morning.
And it returned the next night when they got back from the viewing. Banks says that since they're not ready to let him go, they will hold on to him this way until even the scent of him has moved on. Rinaldo Caparis died on May 16th, 2022. He was 66 years old. He left behind his wife, Melba, 6 kids, and 8 grandkids. The warm and dry weather we've been enjoying is going to stick around at least through Friday night. It's 74 degrees right now with fair skies at Juneau International Airport. Tonight's low will be around 49 with light winds from the southeast. Tomorrow's high will be in the mid-70s again. The average temperature for late May is 61. Last year, it was only 52 degrees on the last day of May. And if you're worried about moisture this year, don't be just yet. May is coming in about a half inch below normal, but with the wet winter we had, we're still more than a foot above average for the year. Sunset tonight at 9:50 p.m. This is KTOO News.